Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron. He's got a lot to say about people who have a lot to say. And he's right, but he's also totally wrong. Meanwhile, how about them Cowboys? The D in Big D stands for disappointing. How do they keep it from becoming disastrous? And then, speaking of disasters, Denver, defense, disgusting. Is there anything Sean Payton do to save this season? Those are the questions. Here come the answers. We're ready to roll on a Wednesday. Here we go.
Look at this
Swagoo.
Swagoo heard that Dallas thing. Look at him. Give me that clap.
That's how you clap in daycare.
Swagoo and Kmart Jeff Saturday. Dominic Foxworth's kids think he needs an eyebrow pencil.
Yeah, what about that? I'm riding day. I FaceTime him every morning. I'm talking to the kids, and my son, like, what happened to your eyebrows? I got him.
That means he's telling the truth. They are not lying.
Fodder for the next dinner party that we put together. Meanwhile, week three has come and gone in the NFL. Let's take a look at the notable winners and losers. Jeff, who is your biggest winner?
Arizona Cardinals. Upset of the season so far. Everybody talked about Dallas. Everybody's crowning them. Not so fast. Cardinals played tough physical football, had 187 yards and 2 touchdowns, rushing the football. That's what I'm talking about.
Swagoo, give us a loser from the weekend.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
The opposite of Jeff. Listen, the red zone issues we know, but defensively, I know we want to make this conversation about Dak, but Jeff just alluded to it. Over 200 yards rushing. They act like they didn't know that Josh Dobbs was an athletic quarterback. He's been athletic since he was at the University of Tennessee. Defensively, the Arizona Cardinals came to play with a game-sealing turnover. Let's give the Cardinals credit. Yep. That's why Dallas is the losers, and they really lost for real.
Neek, give me a winner from this weekend.
Oh, the Houston Texans. Yeah. They got themselves a quarterback.
It must feel good.
DeMeco Ryan's getting his first win. Yeah. They got a couple of really good young receivers in Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And C.J. Stroud is so impressive and calm when the look is not what he's expecting. He gets a little hitchy, then he makes a good decision. Most quarterbacks get hitchy in that situation. The best you can hope for is a check down. Yeah. The man feels like an experienced quarterback already.
He looks special. Meanwhile, Kmart, who is another loser in week three?
Oh, do I even need to say it? All of Jets Nation, Greeny, including yourself, not only did they see the Jets lose to Belichick for the 1 millionth time, the opposing QB hit the guy, Sauce Gardner, in the private. Oh. And then they had to listen to their head coach talk about how, Zach Wilson gives us the best chance to win. So pretty much, this is terrible.
I mean, terrible doesn't begin to tell the story.
Whining.
So brutal. So I've been begging the Jets to sign any quarterback.
And what did they do, Greeny?
They signed any quarterback.
There you go.
His name is Trevor Siemian from Northwestern.
Yeah.
He's on their practice squad. He hasn't won a game since 2017. This comes 2 days after what is described in my copy here as another poor performance by Zach Wilson. I think that's somewhat selling it short. Yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, Aaron Rodgers had this message for his teammates and Jets critics, including Joe Namath.
There's adversity points in every season. This year it's happening early and people are coming for us. And there's, some heated conversations on the sideline and different things. I think we need to hold our poise a little bit better. We just need to grow up a little bit on offense and lock in and do our jobs, everybody, and not point fingers at each other. It sucks not being there. It's tough. It's really hard. I miss the guys. Missed the leadership opportunity, missed balling, competing. Feel like, if I was there, some of those, things wouldn't be happening. Whether we're having success or not having success, it doesn't mean you're winning all the time and you're getting out the right way. It's when we're not having success, how do we respond? How do we respond to adversity? And that goes for our fan base and former players as well. You're not helping the cause. You're not helping the cause.
Okay, look, he's 100% right in everything he says. But the one part of it he doesn't get is because he's never been on a team that he wasn't on. And that's the problem. He's right when he says if he was there, none of this would be happening. If he was there, none of this would look like this. Right. So he's right. But unfortunately, he's lying in a bed in California recuperating. And back home, back on the ranch, the Jets and their fans and their legendary former quarterback have had enough of what they've seen.
I'm sorry. I've had enough also. And Aaron Rodgers saying that, I think, kind of woke me up and reminded me, stop it. It's human nature to feel sorry for yourself. I get it. After 1 week.
Right.
Now, at this point, you got to find a way, and you got to do something exceptional. The fans can't do anything about it now. Joe Namath can't do anything about it now. But the players, the quarterback is the quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to be special. And if you have to hold a team to 10 points, you have to do that. Complaining about it, whining about it, griping about it, that ain't your job.
Right.
And, like, first of all, getting to the league itself is an impossibility. You believed that you could do it, and you did it. Now what's in front of you looks impossible also. You have to find a way to reframe this challenge as doing the impossible, going down in history as the team that drugged this guy to the playoffs.
Right.
That's fine. Whatever you got to tell yourself, whatever you got to do to get yourself right, to get focused, that's what you got to do. Because why the hell else are we here?
Yep.
You're going to come to work every day, every week, and just, woe is me. We can't do it. Zach can't throw. So get two picks.
Yeah.
Yep. Get a forced fumble. Do something. Or go home. Quit. Otherwise, what are we doing here?
But that's good on defense. But if you're Garrett Wilson, a guy that I spoke to last year in the locker room when they had the changeover from Zach to Mike White, he was frustrated then and saying, Mike is great. Mike is a guy, there are no shenanigans in the meeting rooms. Like, you know that he knows his stuff. You know that he is focused. Like, that is, if you're on offense, it's hard to say, well, just go home. It's like you're relying on the quarterback to get you the ball. And if you're Garrett Wilson, who we've talked about, is a guy who came in, like, I was offensive rookie of the year, and now I get to play with Aaron Rodgers, and now you're back to trying to catch passes from Zach Wilson.
Then you know what you got to do. You know what you got to do. You got to tip the ball away from the defender and catch it in the end zone.
Which
damn
is what he's
like, exactly. Which is so keep doing
keep
that.
Keep doing the insane.
Listen, when no one. Look, I'm just going to tell you. This is a classy way of saying this. No one cares. Like, no other team cares. Yep. No other coach cares. Nobody cares about your problems, right? And that's where the Jets got to get to. Nobody cares that you feel hopeless. Nobody cares you go home and your spouse and everybody's telling you, oh, man, this is really tough. Nobody cares, man. Nope. The league is brutal when it comes to those things. Robert Saleh's job at this point is to bring hope to the locker room, and that comes in small increments. Hey, we got to win in the run game. This is what we got to do. Defense, you got to get two turnovers. Hey, offensive line, you got to give that extra second, right? Scramble drill's going to matter. Zach, here's the things you have to make. We'll narrow this thing down to 5 pass plays, but you got to know on your fifth step this ball comes out. All of those things sound cliche, but it's the reality of the NFL, and ain't nobody feel sorry for you losing. Everybody, you were all fired up when you had, you know, the savior coming in to come fix your football team. 4 plays in, you know, catastrophe happens, and all of a sudden you got to live with it. But nobody feels sorry for you. And if you feel sorry for yourself, this is going to go from bad to worse in a second.
Unfortunately, it's going to go to worse. You coached, so you close to this, right?
Yes.
Like you went in and had to motivate guys that was going through something. Here's the thing. I agree with you guys. We all been in this situation in some form or fashion, right? You lose a really good defensive player that changes the way you play or whatever. The problem is with the Jets is I don't even think it's on the field. I think, like, Aaron Rodgers is talking about the adversity that we see. Mm-hmm. There's adversity in that building.
Sure.
The problem is when your head coach got to get up there and lie and say that we actually have a chance when he know you don't is what permeates, right? Like, and then when he comes into the building and he tells the defense, hey, guys, this is what we got to do. This is what we have to do in order to try to win this game. Cool, coach. Let's go out and try to get this game plan and execute it to a T. And knowing that, you know still that we probably won't come out of this with a win.
Sure.
So here's what you have to do as a football team. This is what Sauce Gardner got to do. This is what Quentin Williams got to do. This is what Garrett Wilson got to do. And whoever the leaders are on this football team, every time they get into a facility or every time they get into a team meeting, you got to build Zach Wilson up.
Sure.
The problem right now is that he's afraid to play football.
Yeah.
His coaches are coaching around him.
Yep.
He knows that his head coach has to say these nice things but not really believe. Y'all, we human.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we know what's really going on.
Namath, so, the legend of this franchise.
Yeah, but I don't care about
that. Nobody care what your name is talking about.
I'm talking about
Robert Saleh.
No, stop. But things are so bad. When Joe Namath,
I get it. My point is that is a gift to the team.
Right.
That gives them something to talk about.
Yeah.
And Robert Saleh lied to the media. Fine. Then you get in that locker room and you be honest with the guys.
Yes.
Everybody talk about we need dogs. Yeah. I'm a dog.
Yeah.
Here's your chance, dog.
But
here's your chance.
And that's my thing, Foxy. You and me and Jeff are talking from what needs to be the reality when all of the cameras are gone, no matter what the fans are saying. The problem that I have with the Jets right now, regardless of what they say, they listening to the outside.
Sure. Yeah.
They every response, the coach talking about we believe. Don't tell me that anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And don't tell me. If you believe in him, just go coach him. Stop right. telling me this the best route right. for this kid. And that's my thing,
Joe. But here's the deal. The position solid, you have to answer that way.
Right.
Like that's
yeah.
the part. Like you think
and
every
then
head
go back
coach.
To,
yeah, every
go back
head
to the
coach,
team meeting and then
right.
you tell your guys the truth.
That's
but
right.
you gotta lie
yeah.
out.
But when
there.
You stand in front of that media and you stand in front of that podium and you got the Jets emblem sitting right there, you have to speak to your fans. You have to speak to. So Salah is giving everything he can.
I think
from that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want him to curse.
Like,
leave me the hell alone.
I think they went all in, bro. They went all in, and you know, on the river, they got smoked, bro. That's just the bottom line.
This is where football cliches are helpful. He need to say it when you ask him a question about court. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I got a bunch of dogs in this locker room,
you go.
And you know what we gonna bleep and do? We gonna fight. And this is partially like a result of my age. When I was younger, I don't know that I saw the world this way, but now I know. You only got so many games.
Yep,
you only got so
sure.
many seasons. And the Jets want to take this season and say, oh, four plays in, Aaron got hurt, we're done. No, we're not.
Yeah.
Fight.
Okay, so let me just say two things. Everything you're all saying is right, but there are two overwhelming factors that people are not going to like to hear, but they are the truth. First, Robert Saleh is not the leader of that team. Aaron Rodgers
Aaron
is.
Rodgers.
And when he left, they lost much more than
there's
their quarterback.
A leadership
they lost their leader.
Can I,
that's problem number
okay,
one.
So
go
that,
ahead.
Okay, there's a leadership vacuum. Step the
in,
bleep up.
Into it.
Somebody
got to be in
step
it.
Step into that
is,
vacuum
is,
and
you.
Say
I
what
think,
needs to be said.
I think this is the issue with having a young team. And the vets, a lot of the vets on this team came from Green Bay. Like you've got these guys that are Aaron's guys. But there has been a leadership vacuum for quite some time with this organization in that locker room. So when guys are on the sidelines, when Garrett Wilson is talking to Zach Wilson, that's him trying
to
be a leader. But they
Fine,
are
I got it.
Kids.
So then let's find the answer. Will Aaron Rodgers' right. ass onto the sideline if you need to hear his words? Like,
yeah.
I'm sick of
that,
every
yeah.
day I come in here and I listen to Greeny and I listen to Joe Namath and I listen to everybody saying, man, they're so good. If only they had this, if only that. They don't got it.
Yeah.
So what you gonna do?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, because here's the second part of this. They have to get that kid off the field. It doesn't matter who else plays. But as long as they put him out
That's
there,
fair.
They genuinely don't think they have that chance. It doesn't make any difference how much they're dogs. It doesn't make any difference what they stop.
That's
if
it.
They put anybody else out there, it will give them a fighting chance. But if Robert, I don't know if Saleh is doing it in private.
Yeah.
When he gets up, let him say whatever he wants to the media. What does it matter?
Right.
But if he's in that locker room telling those players, Zach gives us the best chance
you
of any human being on
That's
the planet
the
to win,
yeah.
they know he's
yep.
lying, and
yep.
that is why they can't get
you,
past
you know, like
overcome
you,
the coaching.
But that is the point, and that's the most important point you just made, G. It's like what we are accustomed to is load it up again, 7 days, we got to get back at it. The problem is, in reality, they in the cage with a tiger, and he hungry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that's the NFL. I've been told that by Bill Parcells. I've been
yeah.
told that by Wade Phillips. Dude, that – nobody cares. And
right.
regardless of if you look, motivation only goes a certain
mm-hmm.
a certain way. Like
yeah.
at some point you're gonna realize we are going to lose.
Yeah.
Like this, the reality is the way we set up is to lose. So I think all you have is all you have. And all they have right now is a bunch of hope,
and
not reality.
Let me say this about the leadership thing, too. Because I was in a situation, I was in a cage with a tiger. And I know exactly what it feels like, right? And you know when you show up every Sunday, your chances are minimal, right? Like, so
yeah.
when you're looking at a situation like this, I told every man in that locker room, man, you play for that name on the back of your jersey, bro. Because 31 others are watching you. And you know when you go home what you did. There has to be some of that. And when you tell me that because this guy isn't as good as somebody else, my play is going to be reduced, then you are failing to be the player that you signed up to be.
I understand that. By the way, our producer, I'm not going to break here. I'm not taking a break. We're staying with this.
Yeah.
And whatever we have to do, I'm not going to break.
See,
listen
leadership.
To me for a second.
Leadership.
Somebody
the
on the
problem,
Jets need to do that.
The problem the Jets have is those players aren't worried about that.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson's not worried that no one's going to want him. Sauce Gardner Gardner's not worried that no one's good. They have had great players on that team that aren't worried about the – every one of those 31 other teams know how good they are. They're not being given a chance.
But they ain't going anywhere, bro. You're stuck in this thing. So whatever you – you're not going anywhere. You're going to be mired in this. So you're telling me every time you show up, you're going to play below your level because it's okay to blame it on somebody else?
They're
going to
do the best they can. But there's only so much they can do.
That's what G's saying. I'm playing at my highest level, and we still don't have a chance.
That's not the truth. But they're not playing at the highest level. The defense has played at the highest. They had four turnovers in week one. They had a punt return for a touchdown, and they haven't had a turnover in the last 2 weeks and one sack.
Yeah, they dropped two interceptions.
So Zach Wilson threw a bad ball. So same thing, right? You drop an interception, he throws a freaking pick. It's all the same, bro. At some point, you got to drop them and say,
What has happened at this table is exactly what's happening in that locker room.
Good.
That's exactly what happened.
They play like it.
And no, I'm telling you, the opposite is, they going to blame us now.
Yeah.
What you just said about the defense. I'm going back saying, man, we held them 13 points.
Well, that's the thing.
And we lost.
Should win those
and that ain't enough.
And that ain't enough. Jeff,
you got to do
17 points or less has been the history in the NFL. You win 90% of those games.
Yeah.
These dudes literally are holding people. Look, I get it. Turnovers, we got to go score. Realistically, that's hard to do in the NFL. Yeah. We can't talk about it like you're going to go out there.
The NFL ain't about being realistic. Yeah. That's like none of it is about being realistic.
They're playing
Kansas City.
That's why they went
this week. You're going to tell your defense go out there and hold them to 10 points?
Yeah.
All right, well, look.
You're going to tell them, but the reality is
tell them whatever you want, but they know they can't.
I said this earlier, and I think this is partially a result of me being at this age now and looking back on my career and feeling like at certain points I could have done more. Mm-hmm. I'm saying to them now that you are not going to get these seasons back. You aren't going to get these games back. I understand you're doing the best that you can. You need to find a way. If it's pitching the ball on interceptions, if it's catching everything, if it's talking to Zach, if it's Garrett Wilson saying, look, this is the play that they called.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Right.
I'm going to get open.
I got it.
Throw it at me. Or be a catch or incomplete.
Or when he get open.
Neek is right from the standpoint of you look at the Cleveland Browns. That offense has not looked good consistently. But the defense, legit. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow is hobbling on one foot right now. That defense, legit. Like, at some point, the defense has to worry about itself. But the bigger issue to me is that Robert Saleh right now sounds to me at the podium like Rex did at the end, like Todd did at the end, where it's like you are sitting up here and we are listening to you and we know that you are lying. Like, we know that what you are saying you don't believe.
Yeah, that's the
and
business.
That's
the business.
But what I'm saying is, as far as you have a head coach trying to lead these guys, when you know that the quarterback you gave all this money to is supposed to be the leader, and he's not there.
And let me just say this. I don't know how many people have read the book Lord of the Flies, but we are rapidly approaching
that sidelines. That is where they're at.
You can't say.
Middle school, bro.
Because you know what's not that far away? The next step after, I don't care what we have to do is get me the hell out of here. Fine. Then that's the next step. The next step, if you're Garrett Wilson, is to say, if that's the guy that you're telling me is my quarterback, then get me the hell out of here. And that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid all these guys want to bail.
There's no way that's happening because Aaron Rodgers is still there.
Like, no, he's not. Saying, he's in California, and he may never be able to play again.
But what I'm telling you is the hope for them is Aaron's going to come back. He's going to get healthy. He's going to be here. Nobody wants to vacate the Jets because before Aaron did get hurt, everybody talked about this being a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
There ain't a whole lot of Super Bowl contenders, bro. I'm just letting you. Everybody thinks they are week one. They ain't. If you really believe they were, you don't want to go jump ship and go to grass ain't greener. You want to go to some other team, you may get 10 catches again. You're going to go freaking, one and whatever? No, thank you. They ain't rolling. They ain't leaving.
If you believe that any other quarterback is the solution, then we're talking about all the things that you can do on the field. We're talking about this leadership vacuum.
Right.
And one of these guys needs to say, look, Coach Saleh, we need to have a private conversation. We cannot go out there with him at quarterback again.
Right.
That is also part of this. Like, you have to do something. There has to be something that you got to do.
I'd be stunned if that hasn't already happened.
Solution.
Final thought. Okay, Marcus, final words.
The solution is we dealing in hope and they dealing in reality. And the reality is in this league, and you know this, and you know this, and you know this. You don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance.
That's right.
That's just the reality of it, bro. And that's the problem that the Jets are facing. It's not motivation. It's not that these guys not going to try to step up. The problem is they spent the whole offseason because they knew that this is the only way we got a chance to win games and win big, and now you back to where you were last year.
Northwestern's Trevor Siemian, back in action.
Reluctantly, I do have to take a break. So we will pause, but only briefly. We have a lot more to do. We're going to talk about, how about them Cowboys? Was their disaster in Arizona a bad game or a bad sign? Can't wait to hear from Swagoo on that. And then speaking of disasters, are the Broncos the biggest in the NFL? Is the honeymoon already over for their legendary coach? We're talking about it. Fired up on a Wednesday. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Get Up is brought to you by The Creator. Experience the movie event only in theaters this Friday. All right, quickly, who here would hand their baby to Jerry Jones and ask him to sign it? Because that's that's what happened.
Oh, my word.
Guys, what?
Oh, he double dipped. He sent him back. Oh, look, Jerry almost
signed the baby.
He was like, no.
I'll get it.
Look at the baby.
Look at that.
He was like, get me out of here.
I thought Jerry might have bought that baby.
What is wrong with you, man?
He can afford it, right?
Good. I thought he bought the baby.
Oh, you think it's crazy to Jerry Jones buy a baby? Let me man to buy a baby.
All right. We're talking about the Cowboys next. Was this Sunday? Was that a bad sign or a bad day? We'll talk about that. Plus, Jerry Jones signing babies. Plus, Deion Sanders. We'll get into his game against USC as we continue.
$100,000 for that baby. give me that baby. Oh, Jerry.
We're back on Get Up, and how about them Cowboys? They lose last week despite being 11-point favorites, and it was a day where nothing went right. On defense, they allowed 222 yards on the ground.
Oh,
they only pressured the quarterback 8 times. Swagoo couldn't believe it. On offense, they couldn't do anything in the red zone. 1 touchdown on 5 trips. Dak threw a costly interception late. Terrible day in the red zone. And then penalties, an issue again, 16 of them. Most by any team in a game this season. Cowboys have been the third most penalized team since Mike McCarthy's first season back in 2020. I have not had a chance to talk to my favorite former Cowboy about this. Marcus, I've been asking the question all week here. Was this just a bad day, or was this a bad sign?
It was a bad day.
Okay.
I'm not full on panic
okay.
with the Dallas Cowboys. It was a lot of things that were very disappointing, though. Like, this looked like the penalties, obviously, that you mentioned. The red zone problems, I think, is a bit overblown. I don't want to, like, I don't make excuses for the Cowboys. Y'all know that. But the red zone is you can fix that in a week. They may go 4 for 5 this week. It just depends on making plays. They had tight ends drop 2 passes in the first week,
yeah.
which would change them numbers drastically. I don't think Zeke Elliott is the answer to the red zone.
Uh-huh.
I saw y'all talk about that. The thing that I was most disappointed in is, and Jeff knows this and Foxy knows this, they played like they thought Arizona sucked.
Right,
right.
And they didn't give the respect to the team. The first 2 weeks we saw the Cowboys, because their opponents were the Jets and the Giants, say, we got to go out and make a statement. Remember, G, the Cowboys didn't know Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be playing for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big game for them coming up. The Giants, obviously, in division opponent. They went to Arizona very disrespectfully. I pointed out yesterday, from a scheme standpoint, I thought Dan Quinn adjusted late. There were a lot of plays that Jonathan Gannon and this staff put together that they just could not defend. I got clips of guys lined up on top of each other on defense.
Yeah.
It was just so out of ordinary for them before the play started. So here's the thing that the Cowboys have to decide, all right? When it comes to Dak Prescott, and it's the lightning rod when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, do we feel comfortable with him having the ball in his hands in these critical times, or when we ask him to go down and make game-winning drives? That can do it, but this is right now 0-1 in those moments. And it's going to be like that for the season. We can't expect this defense to do what they do every week. Sometimes you got to go out and you got to overcome the adversity of not having 3 starting offensive linemen. You got to overcome the adversity of your defense not shutting people out. And I don't think that's a lot to ask when you're asking that just a few times a season. And right now, that thing reared its ugly head at the end of the football game. I'm not talking about the turnover. I'm talking about the ability to overcome all of the things that wasn't going well.
Yeah. Get some quick takes from everybody.
It was flat,
go.
Right? Their performance was flat. But it was an anomaly. I mean, I really do believe that. And I agree with Swagoo. Like, when you think about the Cowboys and what they have to work on, the red zone is something they have to work on. He's right about the drops. But when you get in the red zone, they've tried to run the red zone. Everybody told me this could be Zeke. The problem is, like, it's players, not plays, when you hit the red zone. And that's a fact of football, right?
Fact.
Find a way to get your best guys. So, CeeDee Lamb, get them more targets in that red zone. I think when you're looking at the Cowboys, I do disagree one thing. That defense can't do what it did against, because this team's not built to play from behind. So if you can give up a big play, you can't give up 200 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns in the first half, because your offense isn't predicated. You know, Mike McCarthy wants to slow this offense down. So if you're going to go with that mentality, you got to go Kellen Moore style. You just go wide open all the time. So you can't have both, right? You can't have the defense say, we're going to do this, and then allow that to happen early.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing the Cardinals.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys didn't have the track record that they had over the last few years, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But they've proven that they're a good enough team to get to the playoffs. The questions that we have about the Cowboys aren't going to get answered until we get to the playoffs.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. But my thing is just, can we keep the smoke consistent? Like, we want to talk about Dak. I get it. But tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, is this not supposed to be a championship defense? Championship caliber defense?
Yeah.
Okay,
they lost because of defense.
Okay, 222 rushing yards. Mm-hmm. You let the Cardinals score on every drive in the first half, that ain't going to cut it. So, bad day. But please, send some smoke the defense's way instead of just
they've
Dak.
Gotten it.
Right, we will talk much more about the Cowboys coming up. You'll hear from Jerry Jones. And again, maybe he will sign another baby as we continue. But we have to get to a legendary former Cowboy, and that's Deion Sanders, Colorado, off a 36-point loss at Oregon on Saturday. It will not get any easier this week. Caleb Williams at USC coming to Boulder on Saturday. Here's Deion Sanders on being Deion Sanders.
Your whole life, you've been divisive. People
yeah.
really
when
love
I came
you.
Came out the womb, I was booed.
Right. Or they really don't, right?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of those don'ts have been very vocal this week. What's your message to them? And then what do you tell your locker room?
I don't have a message to detractors or haters. I don't have a message. I don't take my time to respond and to defend myself. Why would I do that? I'm giving you a microphone if I'm doing it. I'm giving you solace that you're in my life. I don't care. I really don't.
Deion Sanders, the most fascinating person in college football this season, win or lose. Heather and Paul are up with us here. So they get the second shot here. Paul, what did that blowout loss last week mean for Deion and for Colorado?
I think overall, Greeny, it didn't mean very much. We're still watching him here on ESPN. We're still riveted to every single thing he says. And Saturday, when that game begins, all eyes will be on him. Four of the top seven rated games in the country this year have been Colorado. And the same will happen because he is electric and he is the most magnanimous figure in this game. The game will be difficult for Colorado, but not impossible. I thought Oregon was a no-shotter. This one, they've got a puncher's chance, not much of one. They're playing one of the better teams in the country, but a team that is still susceptible on defense.
What do you think, Heather?
I'm not giving them a puncher's chance. I'm not going anywhere near the upset pick on this one. I think it's a knockout blow, Paul, and I'll tell you why. Because USC's defense, for all you can say about Alex Grinch last year and missed tackles and everything, this year that USC defense is getting after quarterbacks. They've got 16 sacks this year. And guess what? Shedeur Sanders has been sacked 22 times, the most in the Power 5 conference, and it's been seven times in each of the last two games. They just don't have the depth right now. But you know what? I agree with Paul. Who cares? It doesn't matter because this team won one game last year, and I think they can win six. If Colorado is bowl eligible this year, I think they remain and finish the season the way they started, the best story in college football.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that people, because of this, the world in which we live, went completely crazy at the beginning of the season. Oh, they're going to win the national championship, and all of a sudden anything short of that seems like a failure. The reality is it was an unrealistic expectation in the first place. Then we get back to Alabama. Paul, a week ago it felt like Nick Saban's grasp on college football as we know it was teetering. And then he plays a huge second half against Ole Miss. What do we say now?
I feel a lot better, and I'm not going to scream Bama is back, but they're closer to being back than they were a week ago. I mean, Greeny, we did not overstate the importance of that game. The season was kaput with a loss, but we forgot one important thing. Nick Saban was facing his favorite target in Lane Kiffin. That's an automatic win, and from now on, we will say that because Lane Kiffin will never beat Nick Saban if Saban coaches to be 100 years old. So I think Bama is back for a couple of other reasons. They have plenty of problems. But the SEC is weaker than it has been. There's not a team that is just impenetrable, including Georgia. So LSU, Tennessee, A&M, all these games that Alabama will play, they'll be close, but they're not insurmountable for even a flawed Nick Saban team.
Heather, is Bama back?
No, I'm not on the Bama bandwagon just yet. That doesn't mean they can't do it. But here's the thing. Look, we're all watching these games, right? And Jalen Milroe is limited as a passer. Their run game is averaging less than 4 yards per carry. The offensive line is struggling in run blocking, pass protection. This offense is not a top four offense, period. That matters to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. These guys have iPads with cut-ups of tape. They're watching the film just like everybody else is. Now, if they win the SEC, that's a different story. But as we sit here today, guys, entering week five, I got to see a little bit more from that offense.
Okay, and then let's talk about, as we mentioned, the College Football Playoff, and I'll remind everyone, Heather knows literally everything about the selection process. After what was a heartbreaker of unimaginable proportion Saturday night against Ohio State, is there still a path for Notre Dame? Heather.
There's still a path, but it's under pressure. Look, these guys are in must-win situation, and the All-State playoff predictor will tell you that even if they win out, they still have a 30% chance to go to the CFP, but I think that's a little bit high. Because even if they do win out and run the table and finish as a one-loss champ, the bar is higher in the College Football Playoff Selection Committee meeting room because they don't have a conference title. And this year, Greeny, the field is deeper. It's more wide open. We're talking about Texas. We're talking about Florida State. Who knows is going to win the SEC? So they have to think their resume is better than two Power 5 conference champions. Not one, but two in order to finish in the top four. I sat with Marcus Freeman on Monday in his office. He's trying to get these guys going. They said they forget about the 10 guys on the field. They're moving on, and they gotta beat Duke, and they know that this weekend.
And I think I just need to ask the question that everyone in America is asking. Heather, are you in a sports bar right now? Where exactly is it you are standing? I'm completely thrown by the background. Where are you?
I am at the Big Ten headquarters in Rosemont, Illinois. The College Football Playoff Management Committee, the commissioners, and Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame's athletic director, they're meeting here today. They're talking about the format. 5+7, maybe? Are they going to switch to that? I don't know, but it's definitely on the table, and my sources indicate they are leaning towards that in a 12-team playoff.
Oh, okay. Well done. We actually got some information out of my ridiculous question. It looks like there should be a dartboard over your shoulder, but one way or the other, outstanding. Heather and Paul, we will check in with you as the week goes on. Week 5 is on the way. We got good games on ABC and on the ESPN app. Number 3, Texas, hosting number 24, Kansas, at 3:30 Eastern. Then you got Notre Dame and Duke in what is a must-win. They all will be for the Irish the rest of the way if they're going to have any chance. All right, a disaster in Denver last weekend. Is there any chance Sean Payton can make anything of this, his first season in Denver, or is it already a lost cause? Plus, we can't wait for this. Pancakes, anyone? Jeff is handing them out for the best blocks of the week. A second helping of pancakes is on the way, and the crew is ready to go.
What is happening here?
Hey, do it again.
No,
do it again.
No.
Do it again. Bang. Nah.
We are back on Get Up. The game is fact or fiction. Hey, Swagger, if I said the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, is that fact or fiction?
I got fiction, man. I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers. I think the 49ers are playing just clean football right now. Look, we know the Eagles talented. We know they'll get better. But the right now, today, the San Francisco 49ers look like the most consistent football team in the NFC.
That push play should be illegal, by the way. Dominique, if I said this is Justin Fields' last season in Chicago, is that fact or fiction?
I mean, it feels like fact to me. I don't see any reason why I should have optimism on it getting better. It's not all on Justin, but plenty of it's on Justin. Maybe he'll still be on the roster, but I have a hard time imagining he's going to be the starter at the beginning of the next season.
Maybe the best thing for him would be if he is somewhere else. Hey, Jeff, if I said the Broncos season is already over, is that fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact here. I hate to say that this early in the season, but when your defense gives up 70, your quarterback and your head coach aren't in sync yet, that's a lot of hills to overcome this early.
Marcus, why are you doing that with your head?
Yeah, that was the season's worth of ass whooping.
One game.
Season ended like, on
I'm telling you now, it was.
Hey, Kmart, what do we say? Sean Payton, with all the attention was going to be on Russell Wilson, and they gave up 70 points. Their defense is on its way to being historically bad.
You know what my mom always tells me? She always says, God don't like ugly. Here's the thing. When you come into this job, it can't be about what Nathaniel Hackett did. It can't be about, well, Russell Wilson needs to stop kissing babies. It needs to be, how are you going to fix this situation?
Yep.
And when they put up 70 on you, you were brought in to be the solution. And unfortunately, the questions of can they turn it around, the goal is not to turn it around. It is to win a Super Bowl,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And right now, this marriage, it's going to end in divorce. I'm sorry.
But they said no bucket hats and keep your uniform.
Like, you're focusing on the wrong thing.
Well, let me make sure I'm clear on what you're saying. What marriage is going to end in divorce? Sean and Russell or Sean and the Broncos?
No, I don't see Sean and Russell coexisting in this place. If the ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl, I think the Broncos believe we have a head coach who can do that. They brought him in to say, we need to win a Super Bowl. Can you fix Russell? If he turns around and says, I can't make it work with this guy. One of them's gone.
Russell didn't just give up 70 points. Russell's not broken.
Yeah, I agree.
Russell is not broken this year. Agreed. This is not a Russell Wilson issue. Like, I get what happened last year. Here's the deal. Your job as when Sean Payton got brought in was you're a QB whisperer, right? Like, you're an offensive-minded guy. Russell Wilson can play, bro. There ain't many out there who have won Super Bowls, bro. And he did it. And you can say what you want. Like, he had a lot of fourth quarter. This guy has played a lot of good football. You can still see he's capable of good football. It is the totality of the team has got to get fixed. But I do believe that Russell Wilson and Sean Payton can coexist and get better. Because let me tell you what makes coaches Hall of Fame coaches? Great quarterbacks. That's a fact. You got guys going to the Hall of Fame. Ain't many going in without a Hall of Fame QB. That's just being real.
I mean, if I'm the owner of a football team and my coach walks in and says I can't win with this quarterback after giving him up 70 points in a game, I'm going to throw him the hell out of my office.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't even think Russell Wilson belongs in the conversation this week. You just gave up 70 points, Swaggo. Yeah,
I said it last week, man. Russ, he's just the easiest target in NFL.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just
actually,
like
the easiest target is any receiver playing against the Broncos. That's a whole other question.
Yeah, that's dirty. They are awful. They are god awful on defense.
But here's the thing, Nick. You said earlier when we talked about the Jets, you don't have that many seasons. If you are this fan base, if you are this front office, you brought in Russell, it didn't work. You brought in Sean Payton. How much time do you give it? I think, Russell, they have to see how the season plays out. But how much time do you give this experiment? And who do you keep if this experiment doesn't work?
Yeah, who are you going to? Yeah,
right.
I'm keeping Russell Wilson. I'm telling you right now, I'm keeping Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
there ain't a whole lot of them. Let me tell you, God don't just go, there's 32 of them, because there ain't. Yeah. There ain't 32 good ones like
here's
that.
My thing. I'm if just you telling believe you. That, if you believe that, I don't think you make the switch with Nathaniel Hackett. I feel like if you believe Russell can work here, you just say they need another season together. They need more
seasons. Not with Hackett. I get you, but there's no salary cap for coaches. So, like, they're committed to Russell. If you're going to move on from Russell, you're going to have to get Purdy in the draft. You're going to get lucky.
You're going
to
get lucky.
Along the line. That's a lot more difficult to do than to go ahead and bite the bullet and eat that big number for Peyton and find someone else there. I don't think they're going to move on from either. It'd be premature. Both of them have a track record that's worth
this
season.
But again, this ain't about Russ. Yeah. This damn team gave up 70 points, okay? And the bottom line is this. Sean Payton don't need to say no player name.
Yeah.
He needs to say this staff did not have this team ready to play, and that's on me. Look, I don't care who it is, and we talking about Miami reinventing offense and all of that. Stop letting people get behind your defense, man. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, you and Vance Joseph got to get together and say, regardless, we're going to make them run 12 plays.
Man, they weren't behind them, though. They were in front of them going like,
I mean, wide open. Like, what are we doing?
The Broncos are playing the Bears this week.
Oh, that's an okay game. I can't wait to watch it.
You could sentence felons to watching that. All right, we got one piece of business to do.
Let's go. Greeny's on one today.
Second helping of pancakes. Pancakes is one of our favorite things.
So let me show you how we're going to get this thing started.
We back, baby. Don't throw me. Don't throw me. Oh, got to get him up. Get some. Light him loose.
That's how we start this off.
Let's go.
It's a thing of beauty.
You can't stop us, Greeny. You can't stop us. Dominique Foxworth just spanked pancakes on Get Up. We are back.
You gotta love that.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. All right, Swagger, avert your eyes. Because here they come. A second helping this week.
Second
helping. Pancakes.
We got him. Check him out.
This,
come on, Fox.
This helping number two.
Oh, this, he did him yesterday.
Number two.
We got another group. Hey, take it away.
We're starting with a shock of all shock. It's shock and all right here. Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, 106 years old. I want you to watch the pull. Look right here. Watch him lock up. Here's my favorite part. Finish him.
No.
Is that? That is unbelievable. That man is so mad. And he stayed up and talked to him on both sides.
You on the side.
Oh, that's the best.
You see
all the sideline guys? They just backed up.
That's more of a penalty.
They was embarrassed for him. Don't be embarrassed with Jimmy Graham. I see you, big man.
That's no
pancake. Gotta love that thing right there.
Set the tone.
Number eight, rib platter. Anybody like ribs? Get some. Get some. Hey, you know what this man right here said? He was telling the guard, hey, watch your legs. Receive it. Get it. He didn't know which way. Hey, that dude got up looking like this. Where and who got me?
Get
Cage
up,
over.
Friend.
I feel you, my man.
Get up,
gave
friend.
Him the business. And then comes out. And look at that. Hey, that's adding insult to injury right there.
He can't get up.
That thing's hurting back there. It's stinging. It's burning. It's hot. Hey, received it, and I took it. Two pancakes. Three right here. Giving you three. Trent Brown.
No.
That's Quinn and Williams. That's all pro. Listen, the favorite position. Offensive line, when they start doing like this to get away, and you still finish him.
No.
That is mauling folks
I'm not
right there.
Celebrating this.
Yeah.
Hey, I gotta love Trent Brown. Put it out. He had a heck of a year already. That's three cakes. To an all-pro.
No, don't the freeze it the right there. Don't freeze it.
Freeze it.
No. We can't watch it. This is unacceptable.
Yes,
I want to have y'all
y'all do that to my man.
We can't
Don't do that to Q, man.
We will have Swagger will have his revenge a little later, and we have one more specialty pancake.
Q, I'm here for you,
from Myles Garrett as well as we continue.
I'm here for you, y'all.
Aaron Rodgers has got a lot to say about the people who have a lot to say, and here's the deal: he's totally right. But he's also totally wrong. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
We can't see this. We are not going to watch this.
No,
we're not going to take
that out.
Don't put my guy on there like that anymore.
On his back?